Blog Talk Radio.
First 30 years of his life,
We're not going to cover everything, but we're going to, that's what we're going to do, is go over that. And that's going to be part of, you know, is more important to celebrate his birth. We will do the ceremony for the new moon, so we will recognize it as the beginning of the year, the beginning of the month. And but more so that this is Messiah's birth, and he's more important than any of that. So this month we're going to do it a little bit different. So I will take us up tonight, up into his, right before he is crucified. We will do a communion service at the end of that, because he says, as often as you do it in remembrance of me. We want to remember, he says, remember, as often as we do it, we remember his death, okay, what he went through for us. So we want to bring that into our remembrance that he died for us. But the prophecies concerning his life, predictions of him, and then his actual birth. I'm going to put the document up in the room. So if you want to follow the document that way, you can. I went through and kind of figured out the different ages. Like at age 12, he did this. At 2, he did that. You know, but we want to celebrate his life and that he died for us. That he came and was willing to die for us. And so this is what this night is about. It's his remembrance of his life. Then we get to the Passover, then we will deal with his death, his crucifixion. And then the following, the 24th is Passover. I believe that's what I have down there. Let me check this again before I say something. And, No, I'm not getting ready to change anything. That's why I said let me check. I think it's the 22nd. But I've been dealing with these days so many times. Yeah, the evening of the 22nd, and that's what we had in the in our document, the holiday document. So, you okay, Sister Mary?
Yeah.
Okay. No, I didn't change the day. I was verifying, verifying the calendar and verifying each of the feast days. Pentecost and things like that, because the world is way ahead of us this year, way ahead of us. And so, is Sister Meeks having a problem signing in?
I don't know.
So I'll play a song, but I don't want her to miss anything this evening. Let's see here. Let me play a song real quick, and then we'll get started. I need to find out what this video 9 is. Let me put that up there and see if I can rename it.
I will be glad.
Is it clear in the room? Can I ask that question? Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing, 1, 2, 3. Yes, ma'am.
Her computer won't let her get on, so she's over at her client's house. She's going to have to listen to my phone.
Okay, she's at her, she's at his internet? He's using his internet or something?
I don't know if he has it.
Okay.
No, he don't have it.
Okay. All right. Amen. All right. So we'll go ahead and proceed. Or Sister Denise, you can call the 480 number, and you would be in the room, and you would be able to hear.
You call the 480 number.
Do I need to give that to you, or you just want to stay where you're at? I mean, she can stay where she's at if that's what y'all want to do. I'm just giving her another alternative.
Okay, you could have filed for it before he ever known. Or you want me to give it to you? Okay, hold on.
All right, Sister Rachel, let me unmute your phone. All right, Shalom, you my sister.
Okay.
If I play a song on the computer, it'll come across that line of staticky.
No,
I don't know. It's like, I hear like, do you have like a going on? Like a fan?
Wait a minute, because you were breaking up, actually.
Oh, I'm breaking up?
Yeah, you were breaking up. So say that again.
I said, do you have like a fan or something blowing?
No.
Oh, that's what it sounds like. It's like static, like a mixture of static and like a...
Is it still staticky right now?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to think that that's Blog Talk itself because I don't have any fans on, I don't think.
Okay.
Now that's a fan on right now.
Oh, okay.
So I think that if it's staticky right now and you're on that line, I'm going to recommend that you call into the 480 number 2. Because you won't have that static. Probably be a better experience. So do you have that number?
Let me see that pen, Serenity. Let me see the pen. I'll give it back. What's that number?
480-382-9901. It's going to ask you for a conference ID.
Mm-hmm.
The conference ID is 40011.
Mm-hmm.
And the PIN is 7777.
7777.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, whatever you just said, you broke up completely.
I said I'll hang up a call in.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I think it'll be better on there because if it's static, it's in Blog Talk right now. It's not on my end. I don't have anything blowing in the phone or anything like that.
Okay. All right. Shalom.
All right. Shalom. Okay, bear with us for a minute. Sister Mary, did you give Sister Denise the conference ID and the PIN?
I did.
Okay, all right, so we'll see if she's able to navigate that. Her as well as Sister Rachel. And hopefully we'll get started here in the next couple of minutes, right there. Okay.
Yeah.
How did you do that one? Huh? You were able to get on?
Yeah.
Okay. Amen. Are you not? You're not feeling. You're not feeling nobody internet, are you? I'm just playing.
I don't know.
Okay. Amen. I'm just playing with you. All right. So we're gonna go ahead and start. As I was telling my sisters, I was going to do this a little bit different this month. And so we are going to be celebrating the new moon as well as, you know, the beginning of month, the beginning of the year, because this is our new year, and Messiah's birthday. And Messiah's birthday is the most important. I want to celebrate his life on this evening and not do a traditional beginning of month service. The way we traditionally do it. Now, we will do, have the communion, and I'll make time for us to, you know, do the meal. But I want to concentrate on his life for this one, for this year. It's something that was from my heart. So you have the document in front of you. There's no participation as far as congregational participation in this other than to follow along, take your notes concerning the birth of Messiah, his life. And so let's go ahead and get started with this. And then we should have somebody else joining, Sister Rachel joining on the other line. I also sent out the instructions where you could join the room using the internet user account and the password. So hopefully some people start taking advantage of that. If they can't call in, we'll see what happens. The 480, the 516 number, Blog Talk number, is supposedly back up, but Sister Rachel was saying that she was getting a lot of static on the line, and I'm thinking that she was getting the static because the phone I was playing was from the computer and not from Blog Talk, so going across the mic is good for voice, but it's not good for music. So I try not to play the music from the room if anybody's on that line. All right, amen. All right, shalom, Sister Rachel, and welcome. And so I'm going to mute your phone from here because it will cause an echo, or you've already done it. So let's go ahead and start. We want to start off. This is the beginning of the month. It's the beginning of the year for us. So happy New Year to everybody. Happy beginning of month or new moon to everyone. And happy, as I said, happy New Year. This is the beginning of the year, but more importantly, this is what the scripture tells me is Messiah's birthday, the first of Nisan, and that changes every year for us. Just like, you know, we're used to Christmas when we celebrate it coming on a different day of the week, okay? Messiah's birthday can come in a different month because it's tied to the moon. And so we are celebrating it, his birthday on this night. And you can follow along in the document. I will be reading the verses and saying what they are if you're writing. But we want to celebrate his life. This entire month is the way that I have this worked out. Okay. So we're going to start off with the prophecies of his life. And then we will go up to his right before he's crucified. So we're going to take it up to the day of Passover. Okay. But in the meantime, in between that, I'm going to teach different lessons concerning his life up until the Passover on different days. All right. But tonight is the celebration of his life and his birth. Okay. And so we've kind of gone over already a lot of the scriptures. And so I'm not going to hit every scripture tonight. These are, you know, like an overview. And so I'm going to show you the prophecy and then show you where it was fulfilled in celebration. So let's start off in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26. And as I said, I want to say happy new moon or Rosh Chodesh to everyone. Start from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show Yeshua's death till he comes. Okay. And so this is what the Passover and communion is all about, is remembering what he did for us. So we want to make sure that we keep that foremost and up front in front of us, because we should be, you know, very appreciative about what he's done. It's not about us, it's about him and what he has done for us. Let's look to the book of Numbers chapter 10 and verse 10. Numbers chapter 10 and verse 10. And it's coming from the new moon celebration, or the beginning of month celebration. This is also our new year, and I should have got the verse for it. This shall be the beginning of month for you, that verse. But I didn't get it, so we'll go ahead and move on. We know this is the beginning of the year. Numbers 10 and 10, also in the day of your gladness and in your solemn days. This is a solemn day for us. It's a serious day. And in the beginning of your month, you shall blow the trumpet over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, that you may be, that they may be to you for a memorial before your Elohim. I am Yah, your Elohim. So let us go ahead and start this off with the blowing of the shofar. Amen. All right, we are talking about the life of HaMashiach. We know that the New Testament doesn't give us a full detail of his entire life. So what I did was look up the prophecies, a few of them concerning his birth. Okay, and so we want to start here, and we're doing this in remembrance of his birth. As I said, in Exodus, where the Most High tells Israel to make him a sanctuary. And that sanctuary was started in the fourth month. And when you count 9 months out from that, it brings us to the first of Nisan. And in Exodus chapter 40, he told Israel to raise the tabernacle on the first day of the first month, first of Nisan. Most I put it in my heart and in my mind that really is prophetic about the birth of Messiah, because he would be born during the times that lambs were born. He is the Lamb of Elohim. He was born where they kept in Bethlehem, where they kept the sacrificial lamb for the Passover. The sacrificial lamb had to be a year old at Passover. And so this is where he was born at. Bethlehem itself means the house of bread. He is the bread of Elohim. He is the bread of life. And so many prophetic prophecies about him are fulfilled in where he was born, how he was born, so forth and so on. So I'm going to give you the verse of the prophecy, and then we're going to go into the New Testament concerning its fulfillment. And then we're going to work through this all the way up until the Passover, okay? And then we will do a communion service on this night, and we can have a meal together, discussion, whatever you guys want to do, on this evening, okay? And I pray, Sister Neith, that your client is doing well on tonight. We pray for his health and his recovery. We pray for anybody that is ill. We pray for anybody who is lost in the world and is not doing what the Most High said to do. We send this prayer out in generality for all those who are not saved, who are not worshiping the Most High, who are celebrating pagan holidays, that the Most High would touch their heart and that he would put it upon them to serve and to worship him as far as his feast days go, according as to how he said. So let's start off with the prophecy that he would be born of a virgin. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 7, and we are celebrating his life. Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, therefore Yah himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, and which being interpreted is Elohim with us. And, you know, that's literal, actually, if we understand. It's a literal thing. People want to feel that Messiah represented the Most High because of the way the scriptures are written. But Elohim with us is, in fact, very literal. Let's look at that fulfillment in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 through 23. The book of Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 through 23. and maybe later on in the other celebrations like Passover and Feast of First Fruits, then I will ask for your participation as far as reading scriptures and what have you. Okay, make it a group thing. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 through 23. Now the birth of Yeshua was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of Yah appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Ruach HaKodesh, or the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Yeshua, or Jesus in your Bible, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Yah by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is Elohim with us. The book of Luke, chapter 1. The book of Luke, chapter 1. We're going to get verses 26 through 35. The fulfillment of the virgin shall be born, the child shall be born of a virgin. Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 35. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from Elohim unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, Yah is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation should this be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with Elohim. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Yeshua. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And Yah Elohim shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of Elohim. So we see the scriptures where it is prophesied that he will be born of a virgin, and then the fulfillment of it in the New Testament, that he shall be a descendant of Abraham. So to Genesis chapter 22 and verse 18, Genesis chapter 22 and verse 18, And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. And remember, we went over the scripture showing that Abraham not only obeyed the voice of the Most High, but he kept his statutes, laws, and his commandments. Okay, and so if we are the seed of Abraham by faith, according to Galatians, then we also should be keeping the statutes, laws, and the commandments, just like Abraham did. The book of Matthew, chapter 1, the fulfillment in the New Testament. The book of Matthew, chapter 1, verse 1. Now, the book of the generation of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. So he's a descendant out of that bloodline. He would come through that bloodline of Abraham. Okay. Mary is also of that bloodline. So it's Joseph. Galatians, chapter 3. Verse 16, the book of Galatians, chapter 3, and verse 16. In the word of the Most High reads, Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seed, as of many, but as of one, and two thy seed, which is Mashiach, or Christ in your Bible. So we see that Messiah was supposed to be of the seed of Abraham. It is specified in both books of Matthew and Galatians. Supposed to be from the tribe of Judah. Genesis chapter 49, verse 10. The book of Genesis chapter 49 and verse 10. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall be the gathering, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Now the coming of Shiloh was a place that they met, that the Most High put the tabernacle first. And Israel would go there and worship him, but they also worship the serpent there. Remember he had them to make the serpent and put it on top of the pole when they were in the wilderness. And when a serpent bit them, because Most High sent serpents upon them because they were disobedient, they would worship that serpent as well. And that was in Shiloh. But Shiloh is also another name for the coming of Messiah. And so this place where they went, Shiloh, that is where they would go meet the Most High at first before the temple was built. That's where the first sanctuary was taken. And I think that the serpent's name that they worshiped was Neshetan. And they worshiped that serpent until, what was it? It was until Hezekiah tore that down. Okay. So unto him shall be the gathering of the people. Luke chapter 33 in the New Testament. The book of Luke chapter 33 in the New Testament. I'm sorry, Luke chapter 3 verse 33. Luke chapter 3 verse 33. Which was the son of Abinadab, which was the son of Aram, which was the son of Ishram, which was the son of Phares, which was the son of Judah. So Judah is the tribe that the priesthood was to come through. Okay, and not the good grief, Miles. Judah is the tribe that the kingship was to come through. Okay. And so we know when Messiah gets to the earth, when he's born into the earth, the priesthood is not coming from Judah. It's actually coming from Esau, and not from the tribe of Jacob. All right, amen. So we're going to mute your phone here for a second. Low. Yeah. Okay, so we won't get the echo. All right, so the kingship is supposed to come through Judah. Messiah has to come through Judah to be the king of Israel. And when his birth, when he comes, the Herods are the kings. They're in charge. The Romans have captured Israel, and they're occupying Israel. And so Messiah has to come through the tribe of Judah. Okay, so to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7, let's get verse 14. The book of Hebrews, chapter 7, and verse 14. So we are doing this in remembrance of our Messiah. We've been going through the scriptures for a couple of weeks now, 3 or 4 weeks a month, in the parables, and we did so before, but this is his birthday, and we want to celebrate his life. Okay. Hebrews, chapter 7, and verse 14. For it is evident that our Lord, or our Master, sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses made Nether. That's a lesson all by itself. Okay? So he came out of Judah because he is a king. He had to be born into the tribe of Judah. Okay? So the fulfillment of that prophecy from the tribe of Judah, that the scepter would not ever depart from his feet. Heir to the throne of David, Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 7. The prophecy about him being an heir. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 7. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of Yah's host will perform this. The fulfillment of this is in Luke chapter 1, verse 32 and 33. Let's go to the book of Luke, chapter 1, and let's get verses 32 and 33. And we've already read Matthew chapter 1 and verse 1. So Luke chapter 1, verses 32 and 33. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and Yah Elohim shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. So his throne is the throne of David, and David sat on the throne of the Most High. So when our forefathers asked the Most High to give us a king, and they chose Saul, the Most High wasn't happy with Saul, but he let the people have who they wanted. And then Saul didn't obey the Most High. He got fired. And then the Most High said, my choice is David. Okay. And from the house of David, Messiah was to come forward as a king. Okay. And if you look at his lineage, then you will find that Joseph was of the house of David. But also so was Mary. Okay. And Mary also had kinfolk in the house of Levi. Born in Bethlehem. Let's go to Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. The book of Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. But thou, Bethlehem of Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been of old, from everlasting. There's only one being that's been eternal, and that's the Most High. Okay, and so he's making a promise that he would come, and this is his throne, that he was the ruler of Israel. And so as a man, we know him as Messiah. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. The book of Matthew, chapter 2, starting in verse 1. And now when Yeshua was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Okay, and we know that these wise men, they use the word magi, but going to Daniel, we know that they were not magicians, but these were actually the Chaldeans. And the Chaldeans were known for being mathematicians and astronomers, not astrologers. And we know that the star that they followed was not an actual star. It was called a star, but it was actually an angel. Okay, and so they followed that, and it led them to Jerusalem, where they inquired, where is he that is born King of the Jews? The angel disappeared at that point. And when they left Jerusalem, the angel reappeared and guided them to Bethlehem and came and stood over the child. Okay, and so we're not going to read all that tonight. Let's go to Luke chapter 4. Why am I doing that? Luke chapter 2. The book of Luke chapter 2. And let's get verses 4 through 6. Luke chapter 2, verses 4 through 6. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. And Bethlehem is also means the house of bread, and Bethlehem is also the place where they kept the Passover lambs where everybody would go buy them from, because he was of the house and lineage of David. So this was the house of David, Messiah. This is where Joseph was born, and this is where Messiah had to be born, to fulfill Scripture. to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. Verse 6. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And, you know, we would say the baby was delivered. But he's saying she was delivered from, you know, that pregnancy. And the child was born there in Bethlehem. The fact that Herod would massacre the innocent, the children, because of Messiah was prophesied about. So let's go to Jeremiah chapter 31. The book of Jeremiah chapter 31, let's get verse 15. Thus saith Yah, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel, weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children because they were not. They were not because they were killed. So Herod killed all the children 2 years old and under because the wise men that came and asked him about Messiah, he told them to come back to him when they found the child. And they had been warned in a dream, hey, y'all take, go out of Israel another way. Don't go back to Herod. When Herod found out, he got mad, and he really didn't want to come worship the child, didn't want to come worship Messiah. His goal was to really find out where he was at and was to kill him. Okay, but he couldn't see that star they were following. Neither could the scribes or the elders or anybody else. Only the wise men could see that star. It only appeared to guide them. And so that's something else that's not written in the scriptures. But, you know, Herod, if he could see that star or follow that star, the angel, then he would have been able to find Messiah himself. That's why he told the wise men, when you find him, come back and give me word. Our prophecy says he's supposed to be born in this city. But he didn't know for sure, and I don't even know if he really believed them. But he believed them enough to kill the 2,000 children, or kill the children that were 2 years old and under. So let's go to Matthew chapter 2, the book of Matthew chapter 2. And let's get verses 16 through 18. Matthew chapter 2, verses 16 through 18. Because all of this had to be fulfilled to fulfill prophecy. Okay, and so that we know that the word of the Most High is sure and true. Matthew chapter 2, verse 16. Matthew chapter 2, verse 16 through 18. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, angry, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and in all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah, it says in your book, Jeremy, the prophet, saying, in Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation, and weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted, because they are not. So Herod, you know, came and said, I'll know what I'll do. I'll just kill all the children since I don't know who he is. 2 years old and under. The wise men said, hey, we saw this star 2 years ago. That's when it first appeared to us. And so he's figuring that Messiah is 2 years old and younger. He kills the innocent children trying to get at Messiah. But he claimed that he would use the information to come and worship Messiah. That he would be called out of Egypt. We know that Joseph was warned in a dream once the wise men appeared. He was warned to get up and take Messiah and Mary into Egypt. Okay, and so let's go to Hosea chapter 11. Hosea chapter 11 and verse 1. When Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. Okay, and so most Jews will try to equate this to Israel, but this is really a prophecy about Messiah himself. Remember, Israel is also the name of the Most High. The Most High put his name on our forefathers. Israel is one of the Most High's names. So when he says Israel was a child, when was the Most High ever a child? When he was Messiah. Okay. Matthew chapter 2, verses 14 through and 15. Matthew chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. So he was warned of a, you know, dream that Herod was going to try to come kill Messiah to try to prevent him from taking the throne. So that's what he figured Messiah was there for, to take the throne, to lay claim to the throne. And so he's going to try to kill him. Joseph was warned in a dream and was there until the death of Herod. As I said, in the scripture, you read Herod, but there were four different Herods. Three was Herod. One was Herod the Great, which is this one. The other three were his sons, and they also held the title of Herod. And was there until the death of Herod, and it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of by Yah, by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Okay, so that's the fulfilling well, that's the announcing of that prophecy. The fulfilling of it would be after Herod died. Let's drop down to verse 19, the fulfilling of that prophecy. But when Herod, and this is Herod the Great, was dead, behold, an angel of Yah appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And so we know he brought Messiah and Mary back. But he ended up, because he found out that Herod the Great's son was in power, and his name was Archelaus, A-R-C-H-E-L-A-U-S, son. But he would also be known as, every place else he would be, called Herod, okay? But he was in charge in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Joseph feared to take him there, okay? So they ended up in Galilee, in Nazareth, in the city of Nazareth there in Galilee. He would be preceded by a messenger, okay? Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And Yah, whom you seek, shall suddenly, and I want us to hear this verse, because as I read this one, it's not one I usually use, but I used it today, and then as I'm using it today, this actually says some things very clearly. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And Yah, whom you seek, shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant, whom you delight in, behold, he shall come, saith Yah of hosts. So Yah is, you know, your Bible will say the Lord there, or God, but it's telling you that the Most High himself is coming. He's going to send his messenger, and John was his messenger. John was the heralder. And if we, you know, I can take you to another place in Isaiah chapter 40. In Isaiah chapter 40, where the Most High says that John would announce his arrival, and he would tell Israel through the prophecy, behold your Elohim. Your Elohim is here. And so in Malachi, you know, it's really saying that Yah himself is saying, I'm going to send my messenger before me. And whom you seek. They're looking for Messiah, but they don't know who he is, and they don't really understand. So his birth in Bethlehem. Yeshua was born in 6 B.C. Okay, and I noted that date is true by other scriptures, like in Luke chapter 2, where it says that his ministry started. And I would start with his ministry and work backwards. Then he could not be 30 years old. Could not be 30 years old at the time of the start of his ministry. He would have to be older. Because in order for him to, the scriptures to be true, and Herod trying to kill him at 2 years old, well, history says Herod died in 4 BC. And so if Messiah was supposed to be at least 2 years old at that time, then Messiah would have to have been born in 6 BC. Okay. So he would be age zero. Let's go to Luke chapter 2. The book of Luke chapter 2. So we're going to get verses 6 and 7. Luke chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in a swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Okay, so they are at Bethlehem. It is around the time of the Passover, coming up on the Passover. A lot of people are at Jerusalem, and every place is filled up. And so they can't really find room in Jerusalem, but they were supposed to be going all the way to the city of David anyway. There's no room there. So they end up renting out a stable. And all the shepherds are actually out in the field. So somebody's house is free to be rented. And usually the stable, the manger would be on top of the roof. It wouldn't be down in the basement. It would be on top of the roof. Okay. Is where they usually would put it at. But, you know, that could be moved downstairs. So he was born in Bethlehem, and that's where she gave birth to him. So we're at age zero, his birth. 40 days, he was presented in the temple. Mary had to complete the law, the requirements of the law, for a boy. Okay. And so she could not present herself in the temple and present him in the temple. He could be circumcised before then, but as far as presenting him and presenting the sin sacrifice and all that, then she would have to go through the time of her cleanliness, which was right around 33, 34 days, something like that. Okay. So he's 40 days old about this time. Luke chapter 2, verse 22 through 38. Luke chapter 2, verse 22 through 38. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to Yah. As it is written in the law of Yah, every male that opens the womb shall be called holy to Elohim, to Yah. And so the Most High later said that the priesthood, so you still had to do this, and then you had to pay 5 shekels for the firstborn to redeem them. And then there had to be a priest. No, you would pay the 5 shekels if there wasn't a priest, a one-for-one exchange with a priest. Okay, so that would work, that you would present him before Yah. If there was enough priests, then it would be a one-for-one exchange with the priest so that that child did not become property of the priesthood. Okay. If not, they had to redeem the child with the shekel of the sanctuary, five shekel piece. And so Mary is keeping the law, okay, and Joseph is keeping the law. They bring Messiah to present him, as it is written in the Yah, in the law of Yah, verse 24. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is in the law of Yah, a pair of turtle doves and 2 young pigeons. As I said before, Mary and Joseph were not rich, because had they been rich, they would have been able to afford what was required of the law, which would have been the lamb. So they offered 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons, because that's what, if they couldn't bring the first one, they couldn't afford the first one, then they would bring the second offering. Okay, so that's what they offered to fulfill the law. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simon, or Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen Yah's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child, Yeshua, to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed Elohim and said, Yah, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all the people, and a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed him and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for to be the fall and the rising again of many in Israel, for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yes, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Verse 36. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, a daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about fourscore and eighty years, which departed not from the temple, but served Elohim with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise also unto Yah, and spake of him to all them that look for redemption in Jerusalem. So we have two witnesses there that are testifying who Messiah is and celebrating, you know, confirming him at the temple, his presentation. Okay? And so Mary and Joseph, they follow the law, and they make sure that it's done according to the law, or else they would have been in sin and maybe have put Messiah in sin. Okay, and so that could not be. So his flight to Egypt and return. So he's 40 days old at that time when they bring him. Okay. Their flight to Egypt and their return. Okay. So he escaped from Herod's decree. So he is around 2 years old, maybe a little bit younger. He may be a little bit older. We just know that the wise men say that they saw the sign told Herod 2 years ago, and so he comes and he starts killing the children at 2 years and under. Okay, but Messiah has left. So to Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 through 23. Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 through 23. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of Yah appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt. And he was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of by Yah, by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding angry and wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, In Ramah there was a voice heard, lamentation and weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not. But when Herod was dead, behold, the angel of Yah appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. So we know that Messiah was about probably just under around 2 years old at this time, maybe a little bit younger, maybe a little bit older. But that's what we're getting. We're getting the time frame because Herod the Great, according to history, died in 4 BC. Okay, he died in 4 BC. So this is around that time. For they are dead which sought the young child's life. So this would be around 4 BC when Herod died. Verse 21, and he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea, and that's Herod's son, one of his sons, in Judea, in the room of his father, in the place of his father, Herod, he was afraid to go there. Notwithstanding being warned of Elohim in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee. And he came out, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled that was spoken by the prophet. He shall be called a Nazarene. So he grew up in Nazareth and was known as a Nazarene. So from 2 years old until he is 35 years old, okay, and I come up, you know, the scripture is going to say about 30. But when we look at the actual date and everything in the scripture, Messiah had to be at least 35 years old. That's around 30, but the exact time would be 35 years old, okay. Childhood in Nazareth. Luke 39, chapter 2, verses 39 and, Luke chapter 2, verses 39 and 40. The book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 39 and 40. And the word of the Most High reads, and when they had performed all these according to the law of Yah, they returned unto Galilee, to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew, okay? And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of Elohim was upon him. So Messiah was in Nazareth, in Galilee, with Joseph and Mary. Then at the age of 12, they come to the temple. Now we know it was their custom to come to the temple for Passover. That's why I said it may not have been, it may not have been a law that they had to attend all three feast days in one of them in Jerusalem. And so where we're reading it, and getting the impression that we got to be at all three. We have to observe all three, but we may not have to have traveled for all three. And so this is what I'm getting from the scriptures at this point. Okay. So the child grew and waxed strong in spirit. And this is going to be from the age of 2, and then we're going to pick him back up at 12. Okay. So in between this time, the scriptures don't say it, but it does say it in a way, that Mary and Joseph, they always came to Jerusalem for Passover. So we would have to assume that, you know, and it said they came with family and with friends. And so we'd have to assume that they came every year for the Passover. It was their custom to come at that time. So Messiah would have been coming to Jerusalem every year at Passover. And then they would return to Galilee. So to Luke, sort of verse 41. In 42, still Luke chapter 2. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of Passover. So we can assume that Messiah also would accompany them every year to the feast of Passover. Okay. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. So we're told that, you know, hey, this is what they were doing. Messiah went with them. He's 12 years old now, and he's at the feast with them. We know that they lose him. They assume that he's with other people in the family or that he's with a friend that came with them. But he's at the temple, and they lose him for 3 days. They don't know where he's at. Okay, but that's at the age of 12, teaching in the temple. Keep going. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, so they fulfilled the custom of the Passover from the 14th through the 21st, And when they have fulfilled the days, they returned. And the child Yeshua carried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. So they didn't know he stayed behind. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintances, their kinfolk and friends. You know, they're all traveling from Nazareth in Galilee to Jerusalem for the Passover. They don't find him. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. And, you know, that's got to be a terrible feeling that you lost your child and you don't know where he's at. And it's not a quick find either. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. Messiah, at a young age, he is has an understanding of the law, and he's questioning the elders and the teachers in the temple. Okay, these are the lawyers, the ones that know the law. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So he has an understanding of the law already. Okay, and he is seeing what their understanding is and how they answer for themselves. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. You know, they're like, hey, he may be dead. Somebody may have kidnapped him, done whatever. And he said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Knew you not that I must be about my father's business? Now, this answer by Mary sort of surprised me, but it is what it is. And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. So he submitted himself to them, returned to Nazareth. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Yeshua increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with Elohim and man. So walking in this flesh is something, it is terrible. It is competitive. It is, you know, it's powerful. The needs of the body and the needs of the mind, you know, play on a person. And Messiah had to go through the same thing. He had to overcome it. Okay, so now that's going to take him all the way up until he's 30 years old, 35 years old, okay? From the age of 12 to 35, 34, 35, okay? Now, let's go back up to... No, it's going to Luke chapter 3, I believe is where it's at. I didn't put this in here, but I'm going to show you. And then you can go look up your history, okay, the reason why I'm getting these dates, okay. Luke chapter 3, verse 1. Now, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Tiberius Caesar is a Roman ruler. It is written in history that he came into power in 14 A.D., and he ruled over Israel and Judea and all that area, plus in Rome, okay, starting in 14 A.D. We are in the 15th year of his reign. So he's been in power for 15 years, 15 years of Messiah's life, okay? So this would put it around 29 A.D. is this time, 29 A.D., and 6 B.C., that's 6 years, don't count zero, plus 29 makes 35, so 6 plus 29 is 35. That's why I said Messiah had to be around 35 years old, but the way the scripture is written, that he was about 30 when he starts his ministry, and so this is why this is important. If you line up the history, what is kept by other historians, and you line up the scriptures, then you can come to a better understanding of the time frame. So this would make it, if you look up Tiberius Caesar, in the annals of history, it's going to say that he started his reign in 14 A.D. So this is the 15th year of his reign, which would make it 29 A.D., okay? So Messiah would have to be somewhere right around 34 or 35 years old at this time. And if you keep reading down, you'll see that John comes into his ministry and Messiah comes into his ministry a few months later. So we know he's about 35 at this time. The reason why I said this is his life at 35, okay? And he increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with Elohim and man. So he is learning things. He didn't come all-knowing. And he's learning things, but he's got a certain wisdom about it, a certain capability to understand things that are written from the age of 12 and on. And he's just growing in the law. He's growing in his understanding until the age of 35, okay? And then he comes to meet John to start his ministry. Have a good time at work. Huh? Yeah, just I should be down here earlier, but okay, I'll call you. All right, so if you notice all the players. Now, all the players are alive at this time. Pontius Pilate, who he's going to see at his crucifixion. Herod, the patriarch, this is one of Herod the Great's sons. It's not Herod that killed the 2 years old. His brother Philip is another Herod, but has given him, he's a patriarch in Galilee. So he's a leader in Galilee. And in, I guess they're calling it Itharia, but it's the northern region. Galilee in that area. The other brother, the third brother, got fired, okay, according to history. He was fired by the Romans. I guess he just wasn't doing what he was supposed to do. So Messiah has grown up as a child. He's grown up in Galilee. Every Passover, he's coming to Jerusalem with his parents. At age 12 years old, he gets lost. He says, I got to be about my father's business. But Mary says, you made us, me and your father, look for you. And we were sad looking for you because we thought something happened, more or less. But it's like her and Joseph forgot that Joseph's not really his father. So when he says, I must be about my father's business, huge. Okay. But, she keeps it in her heart to remember that. But he is on point. Time. And we, when we go through the scriptures, we're going to read a lot of times where he says it's not time. It's not time. When she asked him to make wine at the wedding, he more or less, it's the way it's written. It's like, woman, why are you asking me to do this? When it's not time for me to reveal myself, to show myself to Israel. There was a set time, and it had to be according to the prophecy, okay? But I want you to put yourself in Mary's shoes for a minute. You already have been found to be pregnant before you and your husband came together. Okay, he had not come to take you back to his father's house. You show up pregnant. The Ruach HaKodesh, or the angel of Yah, tells Joseph in a dream, fear not to take her as his wife. Stigma there. Joseph believes, but there's still this stigma there, and it's probably from her family and friends and all that. All right? And so when she is asking Messiah to make the wine at this wedding before his time, is probably because, number one, people don't believe who she says that he is, or that he can do what he can do, or they don't believe her. And she's looking for some type of justification for herself that, she can feel good about her life, because even right now, it's not even Well, it's 15 years later, and she seemed to have forgotten that, you know, Messiah, that Joseph was not really Messiah's father, but Joseph is still in the picture at 12 years old. Now, 15 years later, I don't know that Joseph is still in the picture. It's not written in the scriptures that Joseph is still in the picture. But we know at 12 years old, Joseph is still there. And he's still protecting Messiah. He is still protecting Mary. Mary and Joseph go on to have other children. And so maybe that is why he is not mentioned that much in the scriptures at this point. All right, so he comes into his ministry, okay, at age 30. And he's baptized by John the Baptist. And John said, hey, I need to be baptized by you. Messiah said, hey, to fulfill all righteousness, everybody coming into the kingdom got to be baptized. Even those that are without sin. Him, the king, he's got to, you know, he's got to do the very thing that he is telling all, everybody else that they got to do who comes into the scripture, that they have to come in just like him. Okay, and he's got to come in just like they do. So to fulfill all righteousness. So we're going to pick it up with his being tempted by Satan. And this is at the age of 34 or 35. Okay. He was baptized at the age of 34 or 35, and I should have gotten those scriptures. Okay. At that age that he enters into his ministry. Go to Matthew chapter 4. The book of Matthew chapter 4. The book of Matthew, chapter 4, and let's get verses 1 through 11. Now was Yeshua led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. So the devil could tempt him, but he's showing us how we are to fight that, okay? And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the son of Elohim, command that these stones be made to bread. You hungry? Make these stones bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of Elohim. So there's our example. We use the word of Elohim on Satan, and this is what Messiah is showing us. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple. And he saith unto him, if thou be the son of Elohim, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up. Jump, and they're going to catch you. Lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against the stone. So the devil's trying to tempt him, hey, jump, you're the son of Elohim. If you jump, the angels are going to come and make sure you don't hurt yourself, okay? And Yeshua said, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt Yah thy Elohim. And a lot of times, we try to put our faith in this place. When we know better for something, we don't need faith for it, okay? And so we don't have to say, well, you know, my faith, Yah is going to bring me through it. No, Yah says, you got common sense, use your common sense. You don't have to, don't tempt me with something like that, okay? And so Messiah said, I'm not going to tempt the Most High with jumping to prove something to you, Satan. I know what will happen, but I'm not going to tempt the Most High like that. I'm not going to test him like that. And so we got to understand that we can't do it either. You know, when we truly need our faith is when we are totally out of control of the situation. Then we need our faith. Okay, but when we are in control of the situation and we know, we don't need our faith. We are not to tempt the Most High with anything like that. Again, the devil taketh him up into exceeding high mountain and shows him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Now, Satan could not tempt Messiah with that if he didn't have the ability to give it to him, okay, to deliver it to him. And a lot of people today, this is where their wealth and their power, their popularity, their fame is coming from. It's coming from Satan. He has the power to give it to them. if they submit themselves to him. Okay? So he says, and said to them, all these things will I give you if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Submit yourself to me. Messiah said, then said Messiah, Yeshua unto him, get thee hence, Satan, get thee behind me. For it is written, thou shalt worship Yah thy Elohim, and him alone shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him. So we have Messiah showing us in his life how we are to do battle and how we're not to tempt the Most High, how we're not to our lack of faith for things that we are to know and do. We don't have to ask for that. We don't have to have faith to believe that he can do that. We can do things for ourselves. For those things that we can't do for ourselves, that we need him to deliver us in, do for us, because we ourselves can't do it. If it's an addiction, you have to do that. You have to want to quit, and you have to quit. Things like that, okay? Some people are looking for the Most High to take the taste from them. No, you have to want to take the taste from yourself. So Messiah is showing us by his life, this is how we are to do things. Now, the first miracle at Cana, where he turns water into wine, he's in his early 30s, okay? And this is before, really, he entered into his ministry. Go to John chapter 2. The book of John chapter 2. And let's start at verse 1. Let's get verses 1 through 11. In the third day, there was a marriage in Cana at Galilee. And the mother of Yeshua was there. Now, we did the study on the Galilean marriage. And we noted that marriage, the husband's father has to approve the house that the son is building. And when the father has approved the house, then he tells his son, now you can come and go get your bride. Okay? And then they schedule the wedding. Okay, and from there, he takes her, usually as an addition to his father's house. It's not really a separate home, but it could be, you know, how we do things today. But back in those days, it was really an addition to his father's house. And he would come and pick up his bride, and he would take her there. And there they would consummate the marriage. And there they would have the proof of, you know, with the marriage clause and the proof of her virginity, the whole nine yards. This is how all this was handled. Okay, so we did that study and how the contract was made between the groom's father and the bride's father. Okay, so this wedding is taking place at this time, and usually at the wedding, they would put out the worst wine last. They put out, you know, the worst wine last, put out the better wine while people were sober to tell, you know, hey, custom, you know, we spend a little bit of money on this. We're giving you the good stuff now. But later on in the evening, when people were high, a little drunk, a little tipsy, they would pull out the bad wine, the cheaper wine. So this is the scenario that Messiah is in, okay? So the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Yeshua was there. And both Yeshua was called and his disciples to the marriage. Come, you know, and participate in the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Yeshua said unto him, they have no wine. So either she's expecting him to go buy the wine or perform one of his miracles that he's done with them. And Yeshua said unto her, woman, what have I to do with you? Now that sounds kind of harsh. This is his mother. My hour is not yet come. So it's really saying, what are you asking me to do? You know my hour has not come. I ain't got nothing to do with this situation. And so you're asking me to expose myself. This is probably in his early, well, it's him and his disciples. So, no, this is after his ministry starts. See what you can get from the scriptures? Because him and his disciples were invited. So this is soon after his ministry starts, okay? And Yeshua said unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? My hour is not yet come. Okay. And his mother said unto him, unto the servant, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. So he's telling her, it ain't my time, but she's saying, hey, it's an unspoken conversation. She wants it done, so he's going to do it. It's like he submitted to her and Joseph when they found him in the temple teaching. He returned to Jerusalem and continued in, you know, ministering and talking to the elders and the lawyers and the scribes and the Pharisees. He submitted to them and obeyed. And that's, again, to show us an example. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long. But honor your father and your mother. And the only people that we are supposed to fear besides the Most High is our father and mother, according to the scripture. So Messiah, again, is showing us by example. So he's going to do what she asked him to do. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of Jews, containing 2 and 3 firstkins apiece. And Yeshua said unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he said unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. So fill up these barrels with water. They fill them to the brim. He says, now dip in there and take it to the governor of the feast. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not where it came from or whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, they knew they put water in there and now it's wine. The governor didn't know where it came from, but the servants knew. The governor of the feast called the bridegroom and said unto him, every man at the beginning does set forth good wine at the beginning, puts out the good wine. And when the men have well drunk, they got a buzz, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. So this wine that Messiah made tastes way better than the good wine they had bought. Okay? And so the governor's like, I'm surprised. To the bridegroom, you saved the best wine for last. This beginning of miracles did Yeshua in Canaan of Galilee. So they are in Galilee. They're not in Jerusalem. Okay, and a lot of the things that took place in Galilee. And manifest forth his glory. And his disciple believed on him. So his disciples had never seen him do a miracle like that. And he does this changing of the wine into the water into wine. So that happens, and that's going to be in his early 30s. And it's got to be in it. And actually, this has to be, and I'm going to have to change this in this document. This has to be after he's 35, so it's mid-30s, because he didn't come into his ministry until age 35, not 30, as is commonly taught, because the scriptures say about 30. But when you do the math, you understand that he had to be at least 35, okay, according to history, and then it lines up. The scriptures line up, okay? Everything lines up, and, you know, you can't get any controversy. His Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter, well, you know what? I'm just going to talk about that one. You know that he goes through the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount. And so we're not going to go into, we're not going to read all those chapters tonight because this is, we only got so much time. Go to John chapter 6, 1 through 14. But he's starting into his ministry and he's teaching the masses. But remember, he speaks to the masses in parables, always, never straightforward. Okay, so Sermon on the Mount is even in parabolic speech. He explains it later to his disciples, but to the masses he spoke in parables. John chapter 6, starting in verse 1. After these things, Yeshua went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, the same Tiberias that came into power. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracle, which he did on them that were diseased. Now, you know, people, they see a miracle, then they want to follow. He's talking about, you know, you try to give them the word, they don't really want to follow. And Yeshua went up into a mountain. There he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. And when Yeshua then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. He wanted to see what Philip was going to say. Okay, and if I'm not mistaken, he had already fed people before this. So Philip should have known what was going to happen. Okay, if I'm not mistaken, and I have to look at my time period here. And this he said to prove him, for he knew himself what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. So he says, this 200 penny worth, you know, however much that is, it wasn't enough to feed thousands of people. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, there is a lad here which has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? So there's a little boy here who got, you know, some food, 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fishes. And Philip has already said, hey, we only got like 200 cents, let's say $2. And Yeshua said, make the men sit. Now there was much grass in the place, so the man sat down in number about 5,000. And Yeshua took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise also the fish as much as they would. So this is the first miracle, okay, where he feeds the 5,000. He's going to do it again. He's going to feed about, I think it's either 4,000 or 7,000. But he's going to be looking for the disciples to remember he already fed 5,000. They're still thinking about money, okay? And the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise all the fishes as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said unto the disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Most I, Messiah, don't like waste, okay? And so we also, when he blesses us, whatever it is, a job, whatever we're doing, he don't want us to waste it. He wants us to do what we're supposed to be doing. Therefore, they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Okay, verse 14. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Yeshua did, said, this is of a truth, that prophet that should come into the world. And when they say that prophet, the only prophet that they would give that name to is the prophet that Moses said would come. Okay, so the people are recognizing him as that prophet that Moses was talking about. Okay, they always refer to that prophet that way. And it's the one that Moses referred to, that one would come after him, dealing with the law, one after his own heart. Okay, so we see Messiah, and he's 34, 35 years old at this time again. So I need, as I said, I need to adjust this document to say that, so that when I send it out to people, you can use it just for your own sake, okay? Or use it for other people if you want to discuss the scriptures. Walking on water. Let's see. I think I got about 4 more things. Walking on water. Yeshua walks on the Sea of Galilee. And this is in his mid-30s, 34, 35, 36, somewhere in there. Go to Matthew chapter 14. Now, our Messiah did so many things in his lifetime. And as I said before in the lesson, when he grew up in Galilee, that's where the lost tribes were. So they were just as crooked as they want to be. And so he was seeing this thing, you know, his whole life. It's just that we got to go back into the Chronicles and the Kings to find it, what they were doing. They were the same way when he came. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22 through 33. Messiah walking on water. And when he had sent, let's see, verse 22. And straightway Yeshua constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him into the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. So he put his disciples in a ship, sends the people away, he goes up into the mountain. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea. His disciples are, you know, they're rowing to the other side, and they're in the middle of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. So the wind had picked up. The wind caused the waves to pick up. And so the boat is being tossed all around. If you've ever been on water when it's windy, then, you know, this is very easy to picture. The wind comes up, the waves get bigger. And, you know, then whatever size boat it is, if it's small, it's at the whim of the waves, more or less. So the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, so this is late at night, Yeshua went unto them walking on the sea. So they've been out there rowing against this wind and these waves all night. Okay? And Messiah comes walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, is it a spirit or is it a ghost? More or less, because they don't think it's something living walking on the water. And they cried out for fear. So, you know, they're terrified. And they don't recognize it. But straightway Yeshua spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord or Master, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. If it's you, tell me to come on the water and walk like you do. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Yeshua. But when he saw the wind boisterous, the wind was whipping about, you know, strong, he was afraid and began to sink. So he lost his hope. He lost his concentration. He lost his faith. He cried, saying, Master, save me. And immediate Yeshua stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? He was doubting because of the wind. Okay. But he should have known that he had power even over the wind. And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth thou art the son of Elohim. Because they see him walking on the water. Let's go to the Mountain of Transfiguration. And so he's going to be a little bit older here, about 36, 37 at this time. Matthew chapter 17. The book of Matthew chapter 17. And let's get verses 1 through 9. And after 6 days, Yeshua taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. Now Moses had the same thing happen to him when he spent 40 days and 40 nights up on the mountain with the Most High the second time. He came down from the mountain and he had the same glow about him. But Messiah is showing us our future. His transfiguration is the same way we're supposed to glow when we are transformed, when we get resurrected. Okay? We won't appear like we are now. We will be just like him. So when we look at this, we're also to take that from this. Okay. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Yeshua, Master, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here the three tabernacles. So he's equating Messiah, Moses, and Elijah to being equal. And he's about to try to worship all three, okay, which would be wrong. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear you him. So before you've been listening to Moses and the prophets, Moses represented the law, Elijah represented the prophets. You've been listening to the law and the prophets. And to the law and the prophets, if they do not speak according to this word, they're a liar. The truth is not in them. Okay, so we have the transference of the message that's supposed to be delivered, and the confirmation that Most High is saying, hey, listen to this one, listen to him. You've been listening to Moses. You've been listening to the law. Now hear what he has to say, because he's going to clarify. Okay, the law of Moses and the prophets. Okay. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. They knew they had messed up. We're going to make a tabernacle to Moses, to Elijah, and Messiah. And the voice came out of heaven, this is my beloved son, hear him. He takes priority. So now they're afraid. They fall, on their face. And Yeshua came and touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Yeshua only. And as they came down from the mountain, Yeshua charged them, saying, tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. So y'all keep your mouth shut until I die and resurrect. But they still don't really believe he's going to die. Okay, now the raising of Lazarus, I'm going to talk to this one because of time. We know that Lazarus takes sick. His sister them send for Messiah. Messiah hesitates in coming. He waits for the fourth day, third or fourth day, but I think the fourth day he waits to. Lazarus been dead now, and he's been dead for 4 days. And his sisters sort of say that when, Messiah gets there, hey, if you had been here, he would not have died. Messiah said, this is for the glory of the Most High. And, they are kind of believing, but they still don't haven't put it together yet either. Lazarus' sisters, they know about the resurrection, they know about the last day, and that's what they're believing in, that, that Lazarus will be raised on the last day. But Messiah, he starts to cry because of the people's unbelief. That's really why he, when the scripture says, and Jesus wept, or Yeshua wept, he's really weeping because of their unbelief, their lack of faith. And so he calls Lazarus forth out of the tomb. Okay. Now the Pharisees, just like they schemed to put Messiah to death, they also schemed to put Lazarus back to death. Okay. It's not actually recorded whether they did it or not, but it is recorded that, they were scheming to put him to death because of the miracle. Okay, everybody knew Lazarus died. They knew Messiah resurrected him. So they were going to get rid of that, to get rid of that testimony and what have you, this great miracle that Messiah did in raising Lazarus. Another miracle that we don't often talk about it, but Lazarus had been prepared for death. He had started to rot. But they had prepared his body. They had pulled his brains out. Okay, and our forefathers actually practiced sort of the burial rituals of the Egyptians, where they learned it from. So they had taken out all the major organs. Remember, they didn't do that to Messiah. When Messiah died, they didn't have time to prepare his body, and that's what Mary and Martha and all of them were coming back to do. So they hadn't done that to him, but they did this to Lazarus. So Lazarus don't have a brain. He don't have no inside organs. Messiah resurrects him, and he's whole. He's got everything. So those things aren't often said. But this is the type of miracles that our king was doing. And this is how great they were. It wasn't just waking him from the dead. It was more than that. He reconstituted his brain. He reconstituted his organs. He undid the rot, because our bodies don't rot, start to rot until after 4 days being dead, after 3 days being dead. James 1. After 3 days, fourth day, we start rotting. Okay? And so that's why I said Messiah would be dead and wouldn't see corruption, because we don't start to rot right away. Things can be dead and stop working, but we don't start to break down until starting in about the fourth day. And Lazarus was dead 4 days. So he had started to see corruption. to the one that we are serving. He is great to be praised, and he's great to acknowledge his life, the things he did. Only Elohim could do those things. And he was killed when we come up to the Passover, but not because of what he did, not because of the miracles. I'm going to show you another miracle in here another day, where they're on the ocean, they're on that Sea of Galilee, and a storm comes up. And the miracle is, as soon as Messiah said, peace be still, the storm stopped. They were in the middle of the sea, and now they're all the way over at the other side where they were going, just like that. So it's very, you know, the miracles that he's doing. We have to be for that. We serve an Elohim. Even if, and I'm going to say it this way, even if Messiah was just a man with the power of the Most High working through him, the miracles that he did, that he accomplished in his lifetime, the walking a perfect life, we should be thankful that the Most High would use somebody that way to set the record straight. But we know who he was. And he still came not all knowing. He said, I'm not coming with my full God power. I'm not coming with all knowledge. I still have to grow and learn, just like you do. But I'm faithful to my mother and my father. I'm faithful to the law, statutes, and commandments. And I'm not going to sin. And because I didn't come with all my God power, I'm going to give you my spirit. I came with my hand tied behind my back. But I'm going to give you my spirit so that you can do the same thing. And so we want to celebrate him, his birth, his entering into this world, to do a work that only he could do. We could not save ourselves. We could not have no way to change from a sinner into a saint. You know, once you tell a lie, you are a liar. Once you owe somebody until you pay them back, you're a debtor. Once you sin, you are a sinner unless there's a way for you to become not a sinner. And at the time, there was no way to become not a sinner. And so the Most High made a way out of no way. Through Messiah, and I will give you credit for death. Just believe on that he came into the world and that he did what he did. And commit to me to stop breaking my commandments. So Messiah said said to do this. And Paul says that we're to do this in remembrance of his death. I don't know how many people's death you celebrate, that you know, have a party and you get drunk and stuff like that. It's usually, a somber remembrance. And so I want you to remember your life the way it was before you came to Messiah. And if it had not been for Messiah and what he's done for you, where would you be right now? What type of person would you be? What would you be mixed up in? What would you be doing? And thank him for it, because without what he's done for us, we would have no hope in the world. We would be carnal-minded, and we would be on our way to the lake. So if you would at this time, if you would get your grape juice for those who are participating, and your crackers, and let us, he says, as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of him. People have, taken it to say that, we only do this during Passover. They want to restrict it to once a year, okay? But often doesn't have a time period on it. So we want to remember on this day that Messiah came into the world, that he was born for our transgressions. He was born to take on our transgressions. He was born to live a sinless life, to set an example for us. That he was persecuted from the time that he was basically born, at least 2 years old. And as long as the Herods were around, if they, you know, remembered that he was born king of the Jews, that his life was in peril. And he had to live up under that his whole life. Not to expose himself. That's why he even told his disciples up on the mountain of transfiguration, don't tell nobody what you have seen until after I've died and come back. But his whole life was that way. And so we read about, you know, the wise men coming. We read about his mother being a virgin. We read about, you know, them having to go into Egypt and come back, them coming to Passover once a year, every year, him being about his father's business at 12. But the unspoken things aren't really said there, but we can know them. Because all we have to do is go by what is already written. If Herod was after him to kill him for being the rightful king of the throne at 2 years old, you can best believe that his sons would have continued to be after him if they knew the scripture and knew who he was. So he couldn't just reveal, hey, I'm he that was born king of the Jews. Or else Herod's sons would have been trying to kill him earlier. The Pharisees, it was bad enough with the Pharisees trying to kill him because they didn't want to lose power over the people. So we want to remember that and believe the report about him, that he came and he was obedient and that he died for our sins. He made a way for us to come back to Elohim, to change from sinner to saint. Other than that, there was no way to repay that debt. We couldn't pay it ourselves. And so we honor you on tonight, Messiah. We honor your life. We honor your sacrifice. We honor everything that you went through. We remember. We delve into it that we might be clear on all that you've done for us and that we don't take it lightly, that we don't seem it a small thing, or we have come too desensitized by it, that we don't give it the proper importance in our life. So if you have your grape juice, we're going to start with the cracker. If you will take it, for those of you who are participating, take the cracker, place it in your left hand, place your right hand over it. Father Yahweh, we present this bread as the body of Messiah. Yes, that as often as we do it, that we should remember his death, all that he lived and died for, and that we should be thankful that it is a memorial to us. And Father, we don't take this lightly. Sanctify this bread, this cracker, whatever you have that's unleavened, as the body of Messiah. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. You may take the bread and eat. This is his body that was broken for us, that was torn open for us, that was beaten for us, that was spit upon, punched by for us. Father, we thank you. We thank Messiah. We thank you for your obedience. It's your love for us. Even when you said you didn't want to do it, if there was any other way, could this cup pass from you? If it's not your will, not the will of this flesh, but the will of the Father, be done. Hallelujah. Let's give Messiah a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Messiah, for the body that was shed for us, that we might get credit for that. Hallelujah. That we wouldn't have to die ourselves to be saved, but that you died in our place. And all we have to do is recognize and accept it and be obedient, hallelujah, to your sacrifice. That we don't take it for granted and that we don't willfully sin, but that we obey you in all that you say. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you. Hallelujah. If you will take the cup in your left hand, place your right hand over it. And remember, we are not using wine, but we're using grape juice. Father, we present this grape juice to you, that you would sanctify it. Ask the blood of Messiah that was shed for our sins, that allows us to enter into and reminds us of the new covenant, which was sealed in his blood. Father, we thank you even right now that you would have a mind to do this thing for us that we could not do for ourselves. Same manner, also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this is the cup of the New Testament in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. You may now drink the grape juice, the blood of Messiah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for the blood. Thank you for redemption and salvation. Thank you for appointing a time and a place that Messiah would come into the world, that he would pay the price for us, Father, that he would bear our iniquities. Father, we believe the report. We believe the report that you sent through the prophet. We believe that our Messiah and that you came into the world and that you died for us. And we thank you even right now. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Yahweh. Thank you, Father. Thank you. So we will do this again at the Passover. We will celebrate the Passover on the night of the 22nd. Okay? And we will have communion again. It's not about how many times. It's not about, you don't want to make it something callous or desensitized. But we remember our Messiah, our Savior, and our Redeemer, as he has said to remember him. It's not a tradition that men have made up. But Messiah himself said, take and drink, take and eat. But we do this not to get full, not as a meal, but as a ceremony to acknowledge all that he did for us, all that he went through for us, and that he was faithful unto the very end. Thank you, Yah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Yahushua, our Savior and our Redeemer. Thank you, Most High. For only by your wisdom and by your power and by your might do we even have a chance of being redeemed. And so, Father, we take the time to acknowledge and thank you and remember Messiah's birth and remember his life. And we give you all the glory, honor, and praise. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. To Yah be the glory. Thank you, Father. All right. Now, at this time, we are at 7:08. And if you want, and I'll take a consensus from you ladies. We can have our monthly meal now. We can talk about whatever you want to talk about, or we can dismiss at this point. What say you? And ye will be you, all of you, for any of you.
Yeah, I don't know what the rest of the ladies
want to do. What do you want to do, Sister Mary? So, what do you want to do?
Well, I don't know. But in a few minutes, I
won't be. Well, then, I hear you. You already have eaten them?
Well, no, not really. And then when I eat this later, it upsets my stomach, so I'm good.
Okay. Sister Denise, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Have you eaten yet?
Yes, I have.
Okay. Well, Sister Mary, Sister Neeson already ate, so. And you don't want to eat because you don't want to upset your stomach, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And Sister Clara, where are you at in this?
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Have you already eaten? Okay, then I guess what we'll do is, since we won't upset Sister Mary's stomach, we'll just, and the other two sisters have already eaten, then we'll just dismiss from here, and I will go eat, because I haven't eaten yet, and I'm still hungry. Tomorrow we have a market. We did so well at the last Sunday market. It was just crazy. I don't even know if I'm going to have enough for Friday now because I'm going to the market tomorrow. But, you know, Sunday was a very good market. And so, you know, no complaints for sure. We will meet for... Let's do the business meeting. And then we'll meet for status, okay?
You said the Passover was on the 22nd. I thought it was the 24th.
No, if you look at the sheet that's been out, it's the 22nd.
Okay.
It's the 22nd of the month, not the 24th. The 28th is the heave offering or the feast of first fruits.
Mm-hmm.
The 22nd is Passover. Okay. So did you plan for the 24th already?
No, I haven't planned for it.
Okay.
I wrote it on the calendar, but I can take my 22nd on.
Okay, yeah. If you look at that's what I was doing was confirming today, making sure the feast day calendar has the 22nd on it, and it hasn't changed the correct day. So if I said the 24th at any time, then I said it by mistake. But the feast day calendar that I previously sent out has the 22nd on it. And when I confirmed it, you know, went back and redid it, making sure it's the 22nd.
Okay.
All right, amen. And the days for the heave offering and Pentecost and all that are all correct by that calendar.
Okay.
All right, amen. So, yeah, you can plan on using that calendar. All right, that being said, may the Most High bless you. May it keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember I love you. I really do. But I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. I want to say Happy New Year, Rosh Kodosh, and happy birthday to Messiah.
Yeah.
Peace and blessings to everybody. Shalom and... I think I'm going to play it from here. You know, I haven't looked online to see if anybody else called there. Let me check real quick. And it's just a Rachel had called there. No, nobody else called into that line. Okay, so peace and blessings to everybody. And I'm going to play to dismiss the phone or our theme from here, if I didn't take it down already. Yeah, let me put it back up. And I hope that your New Year's has started well.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And Sister Mary, don't start the New Year's off by going to sleep. Just sleep the rest of the year away. Huh? All right. Shalom, and enjoy the rest of your evening. Go let that pillow in.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Shalom, Sister Denise.
Shalom, Brother Mom. Shalom.
And Happy New Year's to you as well.
Thank you. You also.
All right, amen.